Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
New feature on the Phil Hendry Show called Rip the Show, and you're invited to call in and rip this show up one side and down the next, a new one. Cut us a new one, 1-800-449-8686. Rip us. What do you hate about this whole presentation? What do you hate? Do you hate that I get away with it night after night, huh? That bother you? What do you hate about it? I'm not going to lead you down any particular line of thinking. Okay, 1-800-449-8686. Rip the show. Did you know that Steve Buscemi and Vince Vaughn were involved in a barroom brawl where they were stabbed back in April? I just found this on IMDb. It said, under Steve Buscemi's bio, it said, stabbed in barroom fight, April 2001. So I found it. Actor Steve Buscemi and Vince Vaughn got into a barroom brawl with North Carolina locals that left Buscemi bloody and Vaughn in jail. This was in Wilmington, North Carolina. Both actors were in town to film a movie called Domestic Disturbance, which stars John Travolta. Police say Buscemi was stabbed in the throat, head, and arm in the fight at the Firebelly Lounge around 2 a.m. He was treated at a hospital and released. Buscemi, who has starred in such films as Fargo and 28 Days, flew to New York to recover. Tim Fogarty of Wilmington was charged with assault with a deadly weapon with intent to kill. Vaughn, screenwriter Scott Rosenberg, and two other Wilmington men were charged with misdemeanor assault. All four men posted bond and were released Thursday. Police said the cause of the brawl is under investigation. One witness said the fight started when Vaughn began talking to the girlfriend of one of the men at the nightclub. Tempers got heated and people went outside where the fighting escalated. The filming of Domestic Disturbance, which stars John Travolta, continued Thursday without Buscemi, according to a publicist. Vaughn has starred in The Cell and Return to Paradise. Rosenberg's screenwriting credits include that. That's what you get for going into the Firebelly Lounge in Wilmington, North Carolina, when you're a movie star. Let me just weigh in on this for a moment, because I love these movie stars that say the following: aren't I entitled to a life? No, you're not. You got it? Finally? No, you're not. You're famous. You wanted to be famous. Of course, I understand. There's nothing wrong with that. But there's a price you pay. You're famous now. And when you're Vince Vaughn, or even that ugly ass, and he's a great, talented, wonderful actor, don't get me wrong, but the freaking face on Steve Buscemi, you know, only a movie star. Steve Buscemi had to become a movie star. No, I'm just kidding. I'm sure that there are many women who find him very attractive. Yada, yada, yada. Point being, you walk into the ass-kick lounge in, what was it, Wilmington, North Carolina, you better believe some good old boy's going to pull a freaking skinning knife. What are you, nuts? Are you nuts? What do you think's going to happen there? You think they're going to ask you for your autograph? It's 2 o'clock in the morning. And you know what? I do not doubt that Mr. Vaughn understands this. I'm not speaking for him. I don't presume to speak for him. I'm sure he understands this. Do we have a Wilmington, North Carolina affiliate? That would be wonderful. I think we do. And is anybody listening to our show right now that was involved in stabbing Steve Buscemi? I don't want to turn you into the police. I just want to get the particulars on this. Or kicking Vince Vaughn's ass. Look, I think they're both tremendous actors, and what I'm saying is the notion, the general notion, that if you're a movie star, somehow you're entitled to a private life, and that it is somehow surprising if you're sitting in a bar at 2 o'clock in the morning at the Ass Pump Lounge in Wilmington, North Carolina, that some guy who just pulled up, he's got the lone antenna on the roof of the truck, he's got, oh, maybe a gun rack, maybe he doesn't. They don't have to have a gun rack. But he has a knife. It's in the back pocket. They don't always wear it on the belt. It's one of those just fold-out jobs, you know. It's not a switchblade. It's a fold-out thing that he generally uses to pick the dirt from underneath his fingernails. But occasionally, or maybe he's a guy who has an insurance agency in Wilmington, North Carolina, and had a tough day. And now he's sitting in his bar, and he's with his girl, and Vince Vaughn walks in. It's not Vince Vaughn's problem that he's Vince Vaughn necessarily, but maybe he don't want you looking at his girlfriend. You understand? That 2 o'clock in the Wilmington Lounge there, you don't have to have, don't have to be in the right. You just have to know what to do. You've got to know where you are. This is not about what you have a right to do. This is about knowing where you are and what you need to do to keep from getting a freaking skinning knife in the thorax. So if you're Vince Vaughn and you're in the Wilmington Garbage Pit Lounge And Sadie May is in there with the one tooth and crossed eyes, and she says to her boyfriend,
"That's Vince Vaughn. He look at me like he want me."
Well, hell, I'm going to, you know, you just, you ever, has that ever happened to you? There's some women out there that will say to their boyfriend, for instance, you know that this is true. They'll say, "That guy over there is staring at me, and he's been staring at me. And if dumbass is just dumb enough, he'll get up and go over to prove his manhood. And meanwhile, you're sitting there nursing a beer. You don't know what the hell he's talking about. You looking at her?" No, I'm not looking at her. Now, what are you going to say? She's so freaking ugly. She's so frightening looking that if I were to look at her, I would turn to freaking a pillar of salt. That's why I'm not looking. You can't say that because Bubba's going to be upset. So you say, "No, I wasn't looking at her." Well, she said you're looking at her. Well, she must be mistaken. You know, you're in a catch-22. You're dead no matter what. Barroom, the home of some of the world's dumbest human beings. And when you go in there, especially if you're a movie star, you better expect to take a blade, I guess. I mean, it's unfortunate, you're right. But you better expect to take a blade. And don't give me this long-standing complaint that people like that have had, which is, "I'm entitled to a life." No, you're not entitled to a life. You're famous. They want your autograph. Suck it up. If you don't dig it, if you don't like it, tell you what you should do. Get out of the movie star business. Go make a little film down in Papua New Guinea or something. Film a documentary on the Aborigine. I don't know. Go into editing. Go open a restaurant. I don't know what you got to do. You got to do something. Take all that bread you got saved up, Jim, and go hide. You think Marlon Brando gets bugged at the supermarket? Put on a lot of weight. Look what Brando did. He put on 600 pounds. People see him. He just looks like a fat slob going into Pick and Save to get some toilet paper. They don't know who it is. Do that. All right, this is Rip the Show. I've been talking for 13 minutes. We haven't got anybody calling to Rip the Show. It's all ass-kissing. You see, I knew that this wouldn't work. It's impossible to do a segment like this because, you know, we're not going to put people on the air and go, "Oh, Phil, I love your show." We're not doing that. We're looking for people who want to rip the show. And we've got nothing. All right. Then I'm going to spend the whole hour rapping about Vince Vaughn, Steve Buscemi, barroom fights, and your ugly girlfriend. What do you think of that? Because I got news for you, pal. And I don't mean any, I seriously don't mean any anything by this, but your girlfriend ain't as good looking as you think she is. And just because she says to you that some guy's looking at her, it don't mean she's telling the truth. And when a guy says to you, "No, I wasn't looking at your girlfriend," believe him. Don't take it as an insult just because every guy in a joint wasn't checking out your girlfriend's ugly, ugly, frightening-looking face. It ain't an insult, man. It's self-preservation. And, of course, the other thing is maybe we shouldn't even be drinking in that joint in the first place, okay? You're going to drink in a joint where some guy has got that surly, mean, drunk look in his eyes, like he's waiting for just somebody to come through the door with the wrong, you know, with a cross eye on him, and he's going to take him out. That's the wrong joint to go into. You know, I'm 48 years old, man. I've been around that freaking behavior my whole life. I don't need to do it anymore. I got just enough money now where I can actually go into a nice joint, have a couple of belts, and not worry about some ass walking over with, "My girlfriend said you're looking at her, and, you know, that you like her ass and everything." And, no, I really don't. Not that she's ugly. I mean, not that she's not the most, she's very pretty. I mean, I say that with all due respect. But I'd rather go to bed with you. You know, I'd rather go to bed with you. And you're 300 pounds and sweating. And you're a guy. Than go to bed with your girlfriend. Is that clear enough for you? I don't know what else I can say. 1-800-449-8686. So this is called Rip the Show. You got a problem with our radio show? Give us a call. Tell us about it. No ass-licking calls are not going to be put on the air this hour. Nobody who wants to talk to us about how great it is. None of that. Just rip the show. We're not going to put on anybody who says, "You know, Phil, I tried to think of something I hated about it, but I just can't. You're so bitchin'. Take me out with a bong hit." We ain't going to put anybody on the air who says, "You know, there's nothing wrong with your show, man. Take me out with an ass pounding." We're not going to do any of that. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Well, back to Rip the Show. Call in whatever's bothering you about the show. Our show, The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. This is for real. This is not some gimmick. This is for real. And we're not asking you to call and qualify by saying, you know, I really love your show, but give us a call. And we have one now. Holly is on the air with us. Hello, Holly. You're on The Phil Henry Show.
Hello.
Hi, how are you, ma'am?
I'm just peachy, and you?
Great, good, thank you. You're on the air now.
Yeah, all I want to know is why in the hell your characters have to downgrade women all the time.
Can you give me an example?
Yeah, just like you said a few minutes ago, 300-pound women sweating like a pig or calling us bitches or whatever.
Well, you know, what I said a minute ago was actually about the guy standing over me. He's 300 pounds, and he's sweating, and I'd rather go to bed with him than his ugly girlfriend. And I was that was about looking, you know, some guy walking over to me in a bar and saying, are you staring at my girlfriend? No, I'm not. In fact, I don't want to tell you this because you'll probably kick my ass, but your girlfriend's ugly. That's all I'm saying. Some guys find themselves in that situation.
Yeah, well, I find that defensive is because, you know,
now the
being
Go ahead.
Being a single parent and trying to find somebody who is willing, you know,
to be with
gay and stuff, you know, and all this. And it's like, I'm kind of heavy set, too. And I'm not stating that I am perfect or I am top dead gorgeous or whatever. You know, I just find it downgrading that, you know, whether his girlfriend's ugly or not, as long as he's happy with her, you know, who cares?
Well, I agree with you. I just don't want him to kick my ass because she said to him, hey, that guy's staring at me when I wasn't.
Well,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, a real man would walk away from the situation and say, you know what, the hell with this.
I'd love to be able to do that. But then, you know, maybe the guy follows me out of the bar. I don't know. That's a good point. You make a good point. Now, the second thing you said about calling them bitches, I think that was the character we did, Brass.
Yep.
Now,
earlier.
I'm going to ask you a question, okay?
Okay.
You telling me that guys like that don't exist?
No. I know there are some guys out there that do exist. And with my comment about that is if a woman is dumb enough to stay with them and put up with it, you know, I don't feel sorry for them. Because it's like I was in an abusive relationship and I was scared constantly to leave them. And, you know, I finally got my act together and I was like, okay, you know, I left. I'm still living in fear because of this guy.
And because he called you bitch and all this stuff.
Huh?
Because he called you bitch and everything else, right?
Oh, yeah. He would beat me to the bloody pulp.
Yeah, those guys need to be satirized.
Yeah.
Or maybe we shouldn't satirize them. Maybe we ought to just shoot them all. But I'd love to go out and shoot every one of those guys for you, Holly, but then I wind up going to jail, and I think the weapon that I have at my disposal is to try to point up how ignorant they are. That's what I'm trying to do, but I'm sorry, I didn't mean to offend you.
Oh, no, I just want more downgrading on men than women, you know? I mean, that's all I care about.
I think this cat...
Instead of everybody calling and downgrading women all the time.
Well, I think this guy we did, Brass, this character, was an example of a really stupid man. Really stupid man.
Yeah.
But, Holly,
well,
thank
you. You need some more characters like that.
Okay,
so,
more stupid... Yeah, more stupid men. You got it.
Yep.
Thank you, Holly.
Uh-huh.
Thank you for breaking the ice on Rip the Show. Bye.
Bye.
She had the guts to call. Now let's go to Wayne. You're on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Yeah, hi, good evening. No
good
bigger
evening.
Fan the last couple years than myself. The one big problem I have is not so much a specific type of gender or class of people, but certain tragedies that happen in today's world being satirized, I feel, are above that. They don't deserve any place in satire, whether it's Saturday Night Live or your program. For instance, the Columbine tragedy.
Right.
What you did 4, 5, 6 months ago. I mean, I think you are a brilliant man. You're hilarious. But certain subjects, certain things should be just let go.
Now, let me ask you.
We, as a society, are becoming, in my opinion, desensitized to certain things that are going on. And it's tragic what some things happening out there. And the media, which you are a part of, whether you, I think, realize it or not, are satirizing something that is above that. It just should not be touched.
Do you think, can I ask you something?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think there's ever a point when Columbine, and I'm talking about even hundreds of years now into the future, where Columbine might be funny?
That's a good question. I think 100 years from now, we might have a completely different spin on what happened. History rewrites things. It might be taken completely different 20, 30 years from now. But as of today, it's still fresh.
Right.
And it's something that, that's a good question. I don't really understand the reason for you asking it.
Well, the reason for me asking is that is there such a thing as the old axiom, tragedy plus time equals comedy? Do you believe that?
I had never heard that axiom.
Well, it's the belief that once we get far enough away from the event, we can begin to joke about it. For instance, the Challenger blowing up. People will now laugh at Challenger jokes, whereas, you know, maybe within a couple of weeks of it. Or how was, other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, how was the play? Okay, that's the assassination of a president who today we can sort of make jokes about the Lincoln.
Right.
You know, that kind of thing?
Well, Mel Brooks, being Jewish, can joke about the Holocaust.
Oh, he can, but I can't?
No, he can. Maybe it's the way. Maybe it is the way you satirize it, or the way you joke about it, or the way you get people to get riled about it.
Well, I'll give an example where I think you're right. The other day we did a bit where we referred to Chandra Levy. One of our characters was referring to Chandra Levy as Choda Levy.
Right.
He kept misstating her name. And I remember driving home that night thinking, oh, boy, you know, that's rough.
What I was more touched, and I thought that was hilarious, and I thought... Also,
oh, great.
The part where I forget who the character you were doing wanted to take her to dinner to bring her out.
Yes, that was it.
I didn't think that was borderline to me, Chandra Levy. I thought Columbine was crossing it. I thought even Dale Earnhardt. I mean, it was great what you did last night, which was a replay, I know.
Now for you, I can call Chandra Levy Choda Levy, but the Columbine thing is different. So I have to kind of, now I have to ask myself, where is the line for, you know, I mean, everybody has a different threshold. Every situation is a different threshold. So I have to ask myself, what's mine? And when I was driving home after the Choda, that bothered me. That kind of bothered me. It bothered me that maybe her parents would hear that while they're still looking for their daughter. And we're on here with the, Choda Levy references, which is like, oh, Jesus. You know, I admit, you know, I got to be comfortable with it. 1-800-449-8686. Who was that? That was Chandra Levy. 1-800-449-8686. I can take this next call, but if I do, then should I not let the guy take it? Yeah, because I want to give people an opportunity. This is a segment we call Rip the Show. People are ripping the show. They're doing it in a very polite and erudite fashion. But nonetheless, what's your problem with the radio show, the Phil Hendry Show? It's a program that does a lot of crap. I'm not going to say we're edgy, and I ain't going to say that we're controversial. None of that. Because you make up your mind what you think we are. You may think it's a load and a half. 1-800, and maybe you've never heard the program before. This is a very good time to become familiar with it. I mean, you'll be able to hear people say, it sucks, and here's why. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show, our number one rated Phil Hendry Show Best of the Year 2000 CD. In fact, we're going to have the Choda Levy thing on that next year. I'm kidding. 877-616-PHIL is the number to call if you'd like to pick up our CD or picture disc vinyl. $20, $350 shipping and handling, Visa, MasterCard, or a check will do. And all the money goes to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show coming back.
Free Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
And we're in a segment we call Rip the Show, and this is a this segment is exactly that. You can rip the show at 1-800-449-8686. You got a problem with us, you got a problem with our show, this is an opportunity for you to call and express that. And if you heard the last two calls we had on, I think we gave people ample opportunity. Okay, here is, hold on for a minute. Here's Mark. Mark?
Hello, Phil.
Hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Well, basically, last night is what I called about of the Dale Earnhardt mention in specifically, and I have two reasons that I thought you may have crossed the line there. The first reason being that the death is still pretty new, and the second reason would be because of the nature of your show and the forum in which your show is, I believe that it trivialized the death of Dale Earnhardt.
Now, would you, and I don't mean it, I'm serious about this, Mark, would you refresh my memory? Because I literally forget from 1 hour to the next sometimes what we do.
I certainly will.
Can you tell me what we did?
Yeah, Ted Bell was making references that, I wish Dale Earnhardt would make right turns, and, it's just basically really trivializing the death and that.
Oh, was this about Dale Earnhardt Jr. winning the race and maybe it was fixed?
Yes, but okay. But when Dale Earnhardt Sr.'s death was mentioned, it was like, I believe the Ted Bell was programmed pre, and he said, "Yeah, I wish more of them would turn right." And it's just, I think if the Earnhardts, chances are they're not in on our little joke here, and chances are if they were listening, they wouldn't know.
Or maybe they are. Maybe they are on the joke.
Possibly. I just think they're really busy people because of the nature of their work. And what I'm saying is that even if they did know, I believe they'd have a problem with it. I kind of cringed a couple of times.
Well, you know what? I like I said about that Chota Levy thing. I don't necessarily disagree with you. I got a family, and if some guy in the desperate attempt to find material for his show read some article about my kid dying or my father dying or someone like that, and decided to turn it into some kind of a gag because it was a humorous, you know. Like, suppose a member of my family got thrown off a roller coaster at Magic Mountain, you know?
Yeah.
And I know that talk radio is a insatiable, it's like this mouth that constantly has to be fed with material, news, 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 news. And then you have to kind of go and do something with it that is original. So I don't, when you were talking to me about Earnhardt and when Earnhardt died, I remember we were doing those bits and I was thinking, okay, now, Henry, this guy's got a family, and this guy has got, you know. But here's why I did the material. Now you might ask me, well, okay, Phil, knowing all of that, then why did you go ahead and do it? The world of auto racing, as much as you probably are a big fan of it, Mark.
I'm not, actually. That's the irony here.
Okay. It seems to be a fairly tight-knit group of fans and aficionados and enthusiasts. It's not a broad-based sport, and the rest of us sort of look at that world with a cynicism and a skepticism about automobile crashes, you know, race car crashes, how people go to that. You've heard the criticism time and again. People go to the races to see wrecks. They go to the races to see somebody see their car get flipped. And so that's one of those things where I look at that, I weigh it, and I decide to, plus it's a huge story.
Can I ask you a question real quick?
Yeah.
Do you ever get calls from celebrities saying, this, just not appropriate or whatever.
A celebrity?
Yeah, anybody that you talk about on the show.
Mike, do we ever? No.
No?
Never have,
well,
no.
Well, you know, I hate to...
Well, President Bush called once and called me an asshole and then hung up real fast, but I knew it was him. I could recognize his voice.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I hate to end on this note, but you have a great show. And
well,
it's too bad that I had to talk to you for the first time like this.
Thank you. That's okay. Thanks for calling.
You're welcome.
Okay, bye. Hi, Jeremy. You're on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hey, Phil.
Hi.
How's it going?
Good.
Hey, I listen to your show all the time. It's like 3-hour crack deal for. I mean, I just love it. I can't stop listening for 3 hours. But I found myself the first time that I turned it off was a couple days ago when you attacked the religious part of that guy having when he teenage gay sex and he was a born again Christian or he had to do with the Madonna impression that he had. Remember, it was something.
Let's see. Let me think of that Madonna. Listening to Madonna will turn people gay.
Yeah, but the fact that he was Christian, you know,
yeah,
and
that
still
character,
having the gay sex.
That character he identified himself as a Christian, yeah.
Yeah, I just wonder sometimes, do you have a personal thing against Christians so you make them in that light?
No, I don't. And I don't bash religion. You know, I actually go to church with my wife on Sundays because she's a devout Catholic. I was raised Catholic. I can't say that I'm a practicing Catholic anymore that much, but I will attend, you know, Mass with her. You know what, and sometimes what happens is we're doing a bit and it might flatten out, or otherwise the character seems to be flat to me and I need to add an aspect. I need to add some characteristic to make that character come more to life.
Uh-huh.
You can't deny that in the world of today, the anti-gay, or shall we just say the pro-family value movement, you can't deny that it's dominated by people who call themselves Christians.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that they're the best representation of Christian, but I don't think you can deny that they do call themselves that. And so I reached for that when I was looking to make that character more interesting and more three-dimensional. I reached for that, and I said, let me incorporate this into his personality.
But, I mean, did it have to go so far as that? Do you think he crossed the line when he said that?
When he said that he believed Madonna's music would turn people gay, and oh yeah, I'm a Christian.
No, that he had the gay sex.
Oh, that he'd had gay sex.
Yeah, when he was a teenager, and it's like you make them out to be these Christians, and they're held to these high esteem, and then they go. You make the character fall in such a low aspect. It's like there's no credibility involved with it at all, and that's the only thing. That's the.
Well, you
only
know, it would
thing.
Be a really good challenge for this show is to come on with a character that's a Christian. And is not ridiculous, although I guess that's kind of a contradiction in terms. I didn't have to do that, but I do read in the paper most recently some minister. I think I get confused, man.
It's hard.
Every time I read in the newspaper where a minister is convicted of molesting children, a priest is convicted of molesting kids, or a Christian picked up a gun and went into an Arby's and started shooting, or wherever, and started shooting. It's confusing to me.
But is that enough? I mean, it's such an isolated incident. Is that enough to make it a huge stereotype?
No, it's not. And it is time, in my mind, probably to point up that, you know, there's a lot of really solid, good people that are Christians. My kids go to a Christian school.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I send them to a private school because they get a damn good education, and I know the people there, and they're Christian people, and I hang out with them, and they're not tight asses.
Yeah.
They're not a bunch of freaking people that won't take a beer every now and have a beer every now and again. So, you know, it's unfair, man. There's no doubt about it. You know, religion is a man's own business.
Do you think a person or a comedian or a talk show can be real successful at attacking religion, or do you think it's so close to the heart that it's just not funny either way you try it, and that's why people stay away from it?
Well, people are attacking religion because I think we're coming out of a long period in our history where religion, you gotta understand something, man. For hundreds of years, not just hundreds of years, the only reason to be alive was to get to heaven. In other words, it was sold to us that your reason here on earth is to simply be good enough to meet God. And this other crap, this earthly stuff, is baloney. And all of the serfs and all of the peasants and all of the sort of people believed that until they one day discovered that the people that were telling them that were getting rich.
Yeah.
And so that went on not just for 50 years. That didn't go on just for 100 years. That was hundreds of years, man.
Oh, yeah.
So we're coming out of that now. And, yeah, there was a huge rejection of that. There was a huge sort of regurgitation of people getting sick and saying, religion's bullcrap. Well, that's not fair either. What is bullcrap, though, and I'll always believe it, is any institution of religion's attempt to change secular law and to institutionalize religion into the secular world. I can't go with that, man. I can't, you know, this country was founded on the belief that there is a public domain and there is a private religious domain. Both of them are protected, but they don't cross the line.
Yeah.
So Bush right now wants to give tax-exempt status, or he wants to do some trip with, you know, religious schools or Christian schools or something. What is that thing he's doing? I can't understand what he's doing because I don't get him. There's some trip he's involved in now with, like, religious schools. I don't know what it doesn't have to do with, he's going to give tax money to, tax dollars to private religious schools. Anyway, 1-800-449, well, the tuition that I pay, I hope he does. But anyway, I'd like to get some of that, Jack. 1-800-449-8686. This is called Rip the Show on the Phil Henry Show.
Henry, 1-800-449-8686.
Okay, we've been doing Rip the Show, your opportunity to call a show and tell us what sucks about it. And we appreciate your input. We really do. And the last guy was really making a good point. You know, it's so chic and so hip and so hep and so now to rip religion. So that doesn't take any particular talent or... You're not really rolling the dice. You're not taking any chances when you get on the air and say you think that religion sucks or that you think Jesus looks like a jackass hanging off the cross or whatever you know. That's where we are today. It's very, very mainstream. So no big thing. The problem is some people don't want you to be able to do it. I mean, they want to impose some kind of a censorship. But I will say this. That we're not doing any kind of gratuitous ripping of religion around here. It's not as if I get up in the morning and say, whoops, it's got to be Wednesday. I haven't said anything about religion. No, you have to be motivated. And that guy made a good point. He said, why in the middle of all of that Madonna turns you gay stuff that you did 2 days ago, where Madonna's music will make you gay, why did you have to make that character Christian? Well, the reason is because the stereotype... let me put it this way, the most vocal Christians, and this is something you guys are going to have to, you Christians are going to have to debate among yourselves. The most vocal among you, the guys that get the press, the guys that go for the press, the guys that manipulate the media, the guys that get in front of the cameras, they're all homophobes. I ain't saying Christians are bad people, but why is it you allow those guys to get in front of the camera before you do? Why do you allow them to get in front of the camera and espouse their, you know, anti-woman, anti-poor, pro-war, pro-nuke, pro-murdering doctor stance? You know, the murdering abortion doctors. Those are the guys that are getting all the ink. Those are the guys that are getting all the press. So you're going to have to do something about that. You say, well, why don't you give us some ink? Why don't you give us some press? Why don't you guys go out and get some, man? Those guys seem to be doing pretty good by themselves. They go out, they murder an abortion doctor. They go out, they get their kisses in the paper over some bullcrap, some prayer in school thing. They're real good at it. You guys are going to have to play the game like everybody else, and that is this media game. You got to get out and get yourself in front, make some statements, take a stand, something. Otherwise, don't just call when... somebody's bagging Christianity, because the only face that we have of Christianity these days are of these racists, these homophobes, these murderers, these bombers, these, but other than that, I love them. Other than that, I think Christianity is a damn fine religion. Well, you know what I'm saying. Okay, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. Flashback.
I cannot believe that you think because you're gay that you can have this perception that straight people do not have.
Well, Sarah, for years I drifted through the straight world unknown to straights. I was gay, but they didn't know that because I was in the closet, and I did it for a reason. I wanted to observe the straight world, and I wanted to spy on them and hide out and take notes. And after years... All right. After years of drifting through the straight world, almost unseen, almost in the shadows, I came out of the closet as a gay man, as a gay journalist, to let them know that gay eye doesn't lie. And Planet of the
Apes. What is this gay eye?
It's our ability
to know.
There's no such
thing as a gay eye.
Yeah, gay eye means you don't have to go see a movie to know it.
I have many gay friends,
hold on.
They've never talked about gay eye. They would think you were completely nuts.
Ma'am, I'm saying to you, and Phil, I don't like it when two straight people are going to gang up on me. Allow me to...
We're not ganging up, Doug. We're asking some questions, okay?
I think every gay person out there right now sees what's happening to me. I'm getting ganged up on by two straight... Hello?
Hello?
Are you still in the car?
No, I...
Oh, you jumped out?
She's on a cell phone, Doug. Go ahead.
Okay. First of all, are you going to go see Planet of the Apes, Sarah?
No, but my husband wanted to.
All right, well, it's lousy.
So you're saying
it's lousy.
Even if it wasn't Planet of the Apes, and it was some other movie, that you would be able to say whether it was good or not because you were in the closet and you have some gay eye.
Yes, ma'am, because...
There's no such thing.
Well,
that is just ridiculous.
Well, ma'am, you're speaking as a straight person. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist.
All okay, right? So you're saying that all gay guys can predict whether a movie is good or not.
I can say if they work whatever their chosen field is. For instance, a lot of gay doctors, I'll give an example of a gay dentist that I know. He's a very dear friend of mine. He has a dental practice over here in Huntington Beach. He is a gay dentist, so he can tell when someone has a toothache before he even asks them.
Well, what is he seeing?
Because he's gay.
Well, you can see people that are in pain.
But he also knows which tooth.
You were a psychic, not gay.
No, I'm not psychic. I'm simply saying that a gay person, like a gay dentist, could sense which tooth you've got a cavity in before he actually looks in your mouth.
Because he's gay?
Because of the gay eye ability, and that is...
Perceptive ability?
I have gay friends, and they can't predict anything.
All right,
I don't know what you're talking about.
No, what I'm saying is, this is not psychic I'm talking about, Sarah. I'm talking about just ability to, for instance, to have the perception to know that something is right, something's wrong. I didn't have to go see Planet of the Apes. I have not seen 1 second of this movie. I know it stinks.
See, that
you
I don't...
You can't tell by watching a commercial whether something stinks. Last night, I went and saw Legally Blonde. My husband, he thought it was going to stink. He loved it. He loved it. He's a police officer, a straight officer.
He's straight. He doesn't have gay eye. I knew Legally Blonde was going to be great.
Have you seen that movie?
No, I have not. Yes, I did.
Wait a minute. I want to ask Doug, have you seen Legally Blonde?
No.
And yet you reviewed it in your newspaper.
I said it was great.
Don't you even go to the movies you review?
You see, all of your homophobic anger... If your gay friends haven't developed their gay eye, it's because they aren't comfortable being gay, Sarah.
Oh my God!
They're hanging out with you.
Well, you weren't comfortable being gay. You were in the closet.
I was in the closet, going in and out of the shadows, spying on straight people.
Spying on straight people. How do you spy on straight people?
Just watch what they do and stuff.
Oh my God!
Look, Sarah,
you are ridiculous.
No, you're ridiculous with your gay friends who don't have gay eye.
Yeah. Okay.
My gay friends are very brilliant people, and they would never ever assume some movie was dumb if they've never seen it.
But your
if
husband,
they saw a commercial, they wouldn't assume that.
You don't know that. Ask them about gay eye. In fact, you do me a favor, all right? I want you to call up one of your gay friends right now. All right? I want you to get him and call me back on the air here. I'll talk to him about gay eye, and he'll set you straight.
There's no such thing.
Well, you call him up.
I have many gay friends.
Okay. Sarah, thank you.
Are you going to give her a backline to call up?
No, I'm not giving out a backline number. Sarah, thank you. Go about your Friday night. Thank you very much.
You're just very ridiculous.
Right, you're ridiculous because you don't know about gay eye.
All right, 1-800.
Well, I live in a very...
Whatever.
Okay, thank
community.
You.
I live in a community that has more gay people.
And we're going to move on now to another call. And this is the Phil Hendry Show.
Just a moment.
So let's go over here to another call.
I have not heard of one person that says they know of gay eye.
I'm going to... Okay, Sarah, thank you, dear.
Thanks. Whatever.
Bye.
Whatever.
Phil Hendry. Flashback.
Don't forget our CD. 1-877-616-PHIL. Money goes to charity.